Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Lions from the jump, pouring it on. 50 Burger put up 52 points, matched a season high from a year ago. Best part? Looked like last year's offense. Mm-hmm. Explosive, balanced, ready to pile it on. And they did it against Ben Johnson.
Yeah. And it was, I mean, it was supposed to be one of those things where, you know, hey, Ben knows all the strengths and weaknesses of this offense. How are you going to stop it? He's going to be in there with Dennis Allen. Dennis Allen should know what Dan Campbell's going to be running, and it didn't matter.
No. And look, they started out with play action, and then they worked backwards. They got the ground game going, ran for almost 200 yards, 6 yards a carry, and it was Montgomery in the end zone. It's Gibbs in the end zone. Jared Goff throws 5 touchdowns, sacked 0 times. I mean, it's everything we needed, right? After a week one loss where everything felt like it went wrong, this was a week where everything went right. And we've asked you guys to pick out, not the worst, that was a week ago, pick out the best.
Yep.
Let's get to Mike in Washington. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. Happy Victory Monday, of course.
Happy Victory Monday.
I was at the game. I'm a season ticket holder. The best part, I mean, yeah, I'd say a couple of my 2 points here is I think the best part is we looked like our old self. Yes, we did what we were supposed to do. Next week is obviously a lot different team, a lot different players. I think the best part was early in the morning when we were tailgating. We had 6 TV buses roll down Lafayette and Randolph with a good old RIP Charlie Kirk on their sign. And I think that was very respectful for the city of Detroit. And along with all the Bears fans around me, they were all joining in on the F Ben Johnson chant. I thought that was pretty cool.
The Bears fans were joining in?
Yep. I had a bunch of Bears fans around me. And they were, from the beginning of the game, they had no confidence. They were saying, oh, we pretty much came here knowing that we were going to lose, yada, yada, yada.
They were right.
And at the end of the game, I had about 6 Bear fans cheering with me. FN Johnson on that Woodward Sports
I mean, what I would tell you is you get these chants that carried out into the game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like Lions fans were fired up to see not only their team win, but it was a little bit of the energy from that first playoff win where it was like, hey, we don't need Matthew Stafford.
Right.
There was a lot of this, we don't need Ben Johnson. And they didn't. Like, John, I thought that crystallized the point that really you have led, which is this is Dan Campbell's offense. When Ben Johnson left, clearly you don't want to lose continuity. And I think he's a sharp guy. But this was Dan Campbell's offense. He took the principles from Sean Payton. He implemented them here. At one point, called the plays. But the identity of this football team and the identity of the offense was crafted by Dan Campbell. And in week one, they didn't get any explosive plays. They didn't win up front. But this was the reassurance that it's still Dan Campbell's offense.
I think it's also the reassurance that we've watched Dan Campbell learn how to be a head coach, where he hires Anthony Lynn, things are going well, so he takes over the play calling. And then the following year, he hands it off to Ben Johnson, but it's with the guidance of, this is what I expect. This is how I expect you to call the game. And it's not, you have to call this play at this play, this down a distance, on this spot of the field, on this hash. It's just making sure that the rhythm of the offense is to his philosophy.
Yes.
And I think instead of waiting throughout an entire season to make a change, that he didn't want to make a change, but I think he probably inserted himself into some of those game plan meetings that he's always been a part of, but maybe he just said, okay, here's what didn't go well. Here's how I see it. Here's what I would like to see against Chicago and moving forward.
What did you think of the F. Ben Johnson chants? They bother you? You think that was classless? You have no issue with it? You think it's part of sports?
It's sure it's part of sports. I wouldn't join in. It's not part of what I think it's. I'm not going to get all over those that were doing it.
I think it's fun. I think at the end
I'm
of the
sure
day,
you do.
I mean, children,
you boo kids. So yeah. I mean, yeah, of course you think it's fun.
But to me, I
figured I would see at the front of that section, you standing there with the sign. You know, 1, 2, 3.
But I don't think it's like that serious. Like, it's all through the lens of sports. No, I don't wish like personal harm to Ben Johnson, correct, but through the lens of we're competing with you. F that guy. We want to blow him out. We want to humiliate him, and we want to have our best day at his expense. That's sports.
Yeah. I just, it rubs me wrong.
I know.
And so it's,
that's, you're a classier individual than I am. I mean, that's, well, I'm not at all surprised at our difference on this. Marcus in East Point, best part of that game.
Oh man, it was so many. I think my favorite parts were the energy from the team as a whole, which looked completely different than last week. I mean, just from the very beginning, I know being at home makes a big difference. The looks on Ben Johnson's face every time Caleb Williams did something unquarterback-like for his guys. And he almost looked like he was ready to give up already. I mean, it's surprising. And the other thing, I don't know if you guys know about this, but the ticket prices were through the roof until the Bears lost bad last week, and they just fell off. I was surprised at that. I couldn't even sell my tickets yesterday. I ended up giving them to my niece. It was a surprise. But I'm gonna, you guys made us go through how many games we think we win. I'm gonna go up to 13 now. I only see us losing to Ravens, Philly, the Green Bay game, and one other random game. I think we're gonna handle Kansas City and Washington
with Cincinnati. Yeah, like it's amazing.
Cincinnati's cooked already. I
mean, yeah, well, Burrow's probably not playing in that game if you read the reports. Toe injury could be months.
He might be out till Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Marcus, you're right. I mean, it's amazing what a win will do. It'll put the wind in your sail.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't know that they're winning all of these games and winning 13 games. This was one I thought they'd win, and they did win. But how they won, I think, was the significance.
Right, and it all goes to the futile task that it is of when the schedule comes out and we go win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. Like, we have no idea what injuries or what teams are going to look like, because Cincinnati, even last week against the Cleveland Browns, 17-16 win, like, they didn't look good offensively.
Even with Burrow.
Yeah, and now all of a sudden Joe Burrow's out. And I know the game on Monday night looks as tough as it did originally, but the trip to Kansas City, like, there's just a lot of things that you learn as the season begins. And what we learned last week with the Detroit Lions, we didn't like. But now, after two games, you don't write off a season after one game. You don't write off players or coaches. You get a chance to go back out there and see. And this is one thing that we have, and I think there's a lot of people that forgot. We tried to mention it last week. Dan Campbell does not lose games back-to-back.
Well, that's one of the ticket texts we got. Lions keep their streak of not losing two in a row. This team is the real definition of grit, signed Q. Other highlights from the game. How about Tyleek Big Paw Williams? Not with one, but two swats. Good to see a rookie getting in and making an impact.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Speaking of guys making an impact, the Tesla catch.
Yeah.
That was people's best part of that Lions game. Another ticket text says, wait, Davenport got hurt? That's a shocker.
it's breaking news sounder.
It's good we won't need anybody opposite of Hutch, signed Steve. Manuel and Howell, best of the Lions game.
It was great. I loved it. It put a great game, but my best part was when Golf tried to do the Lambeau leap.
Yeah.
They had to shove him into the crowd.
Oh, I know. The fans were trying to pull him up, and other players were trying to push him up as well. My favorite part of that, and I don't know, were you at the game?
No, I was not. I was watching it on TV.
Okay.
I got to rewind it and keep on laughing at it.
The kids that were in that section, I showed Heather this picture this morning. There was kind of one, like, as he was trying to get up there, and another one. The boy, the son of the family that was there, his face, his laughter was unbelievable. The daughter, you could see severe concern on her face as to whether or not Jared Goff was going to land in her lap, if he was going to make it up. It just was That picture right there was why you take kids to football games.
It was hilarious. Yes, I got to agree with you 100%. It was funny.
He turned into like an 85-year-old man once he got into the stands, just like limp.
Yeah. I mean, they're if Amon-Ra St. Brown, J-Mo, anybody else has a good sense of humor, at some point for the next home game, they're going to put a step stool over there.
That's funny.
But just a little tip, like put a step stool over there, something where he could, maybe a little ladder, we call it the golf ladder.
Let him climb into the stands. A couple more ticket texts. I mentioned this one. The best part was the one-handed catch by Tesla and seeing Ben Johnson fired up and upset as they had to come back out as they tried to go in for the half. The tides turned. Lions came out in the second half on a tear to win the game. That signed Tater. We do have a ticket texter who is upset at the Ben Johnson chance. It says how the Lions fans treated Ben Johnson was horrible and it was embarrassing. I'll unpack that as the show moves along. It's 97.1.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.